we get this impression that scientists have understood DNA. They know next to nothing about DNA to such an extent that between 90 and 95, 97% of it, they've dubbed junk DNA because they don't understand what it does.
Uh-huh.
I mean, junk DNA, it's kind of, it's a subliminal, oh, that doesn't really matter. 90 to 97% of DNA, it doesn't matter because it's junk. No, what it means, you don't understand it. You know, I mean, as I said in the book, was God having a laugh? Yeah, let's throw all this DNA and it doesn't do anything, but I'll confuse them. It's ridiculous. And what these scientists, I fell off my chair when I read it, concluded from this research is that the body is a biological internet in which it is a self supporting system. And it's very clear to me, as I understand more about this, that there are significant numbers of people in the world who are not actually conscious in the sense of accessing consciousness beyond this illusory world. They are following the body program. And it's only when consciousness comes in that it can impose itself on the program. And when it does that, these people tend to stand out because they're different, because they see the world in a different way, because they're looking through different eyes.
We used to call them individuals.
Individuals, yeah, who express this. Because it's interesting when you see that psychologists reckon that they can break down human personalities and into something like 12 archetypal personalities and combinations of them. And you know, you hear this, and okay, when they do their stuff, I can see what they're talking about. But then you ask the question, well, we're dealing with all possibility here, infinite consciousness, all possibility. So how come they can break down human personalities into these archetypes, and not many of them either? The reason is they are not identifying consciousness. They are identifying the program, because it's more and more clear to me that what we call mind and emotions are manifestations of the DNA. What's one of the reasons why when we feel emotion, we create chemicals and in the body and affect the DNA? It's because it's the same thing. Who we are, as someone brilliantly said, is not our thoughts with a silence between them. That silence we go into in meditative states and high states of consciousness. And the reason I would suggest that level, all possibility, infinite consciousness, is silent is because it is all-knowing. And when you're all-knowing, you don't have to go through the chatterbox that we go through endlessly trying to work things out. It just knows. And it's the silence that is what we are, eternal, infinite consciousness. The constant chatter in the head and the emotional impact of that is the program we're working through. And basically, the program has taken over because we identify with the program. We identify with being Bill Bloggs from Arkansas, whose personality is this, because this is his emotional reaction, this is his mental reaction, and what we're looking at is a program. And very clearly, consciousness outside the program, infinite consciousness as I call it, for want of a term, does not have to animate the body for the body to function at some level. And so we have akin, I suppose, to some of the concepts within the Matrix movies, people who are just following a computer program, and basically, you know, you could talk for them forever and they'd never get it. But at the same time, we're getting more and more people, like, that's so clear as I travel around, who are beginning to open up to this infinite consciousness and start to observe the world from that point of perspective. And they are the wake-up people. They're the people that are now seeing the world through different eyes and wondering, why didn't I see this before? It's so obvious. They didn't see it before because they were identifying with the program. Now they're seeing beyond the program more and more. And this is what the wake-up is that's going on.
Well, it is indeed. we can look at the dumbing down of America, especially the dumbing down of American children, as you well know, and have studied for years, is being done with great sophistication, great planning, and as Charlotte Iserbeet has defined in her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, has been going on now for almost a century, and the results are truly horrifying. Our young people now in this country, David, I'm sure you've seen them, they're almost robots anymore. It's truly, we have to take a break. Hold on, I'll get your thoughts on that in just a couple minutes. Infinite love is the only truth. Our young people, as I said, are pretty much robotic now. If you can get to them at all, it's at the elementary school level. By the time they're in middle school, if they're exposed or allowed to...
society. It's all about enticing the five senses and holding them in that state where that's the only level that people are operating on.
It's also it's also about addicting them.
Addicting them, exactly. So the five senses are all about getting them addicted, because once you're addicted, you want your daily fix. And just as a quick brief aside, one of the things I've been talking about for years is emotional addiction, and the more that I understand, the more I see how that works, because when we feel emotion, it creates chemicals. This is very well established, and the receptors in the cells that receive heroin or cocaine or pharmaceutical drugs are the same receptors that receive the chemicals produced by emotions. And what happens is that people get addicted to these chemicals, and therefore they subconsciously construct their reality, their daily lives, to create situations that stimulate this chemical. I see it all the time.
Oh, I get it. So they become addicted to their own poisoned personalities and worldview.
Exactly. So what happens is you'll get someone, just a simple thing, what was that old song, being addicted to love?
Right.
You'll get someone who will jump from partner to partner in their lives because they are addicted to the chemical that's produced in that first rush when someone is attracted and connected to someone new. And then after a while, of course, the relationship starts to take a different level, and that rush that produces that chemical ceases to be, and they crave for it, so that they then construct their lives so they have another rush. And people see this person as going from partner to partner and never settling down. It's because they want this rush. One of the great chemical addictions is depression. Not put too fine a point in it, my mother, and she's one of endless numbers of people, is addicted to the chemical produced by depression. And it was watching a movie which was looking at this with special effects of what happens when we get into certain emotional and mental states. And the brain actually creates a network, like a matrix, of connections that reflect that depressed state in the case that we're talking about. And then as information comes into the brain, it is decoded from the perspective of that depression. That person, for instance, the cup will never be half full, it will always be half empty, and the person will be worrying about the next person comes in going to knock the cup over. It, things have gone well today, you watch them change, or you watch them go wrong, that's that kind of thing. So we're creating that reality to fit, makes us depressed, and we feed off the chemical. And talking of chemicals in young people, I keep hearing about how bad it is now with young people's behavior and stuff, and you start charting that back, and you pick up a remarkable sequence of when this really started motoring, this childhood behavior situation, was when they started pouring things like aspartame, MSG, and these other poisons into our food. MSG, monosodium glutamate, what is that actually doing? It's literally tricking the brain into decoding more taste than is actually in the food that we're eating. And what they're doing, Jeff, because all of these things that I've described, fluoride in the water too, they're what are called excitotoxins. They rewire the chemical balance and the electrical connections of the brain. And young people, particularly, more and more other people too, but young people are, I mean, this stuff poured into them by the day. You know, I sit there and I watch kids slugging back these soft drinks full of this stuff. And of course then, oh, you know, his behavior's a bit strange. Of course it's strange. He's chemically poisoned. And the bottom line of it is that these guys know that this awakening is going on. For whatever reason, more and more people are waking up to the silence between the thoughts. They may not see it in those terms, but they're getting another perspective of life because of the way that their perception of it is changing. And they want to put the lid on that. So they're hitting us from every direction, whether it's mobile phone frequencies, which also have the same effect as excitotoxins in rewiring the brain. I'm sure, you know, very soon from what I've seen, you know, babies are going to be born with a mobile phone already attached to the ear, from what I can see. And you've got all these chemicals, you've got the masts from mobile phone networks, which all of us get, and all these things on all these different levels are rewiring the computer, the body, and reducing its ability to interact with what I call infinite consciousness and silence between the thoughts. And that's what they want. They want to isolate us in the five senses, because then we're controllable, because we completely forget the nature of who we are.
And these people are very bright. In fact, they're brilliant at this game. They know exactly what they're doing. They've been prepping for it for a long time. And they've used every bit of science that has been constructed by some brilliant people over the last century to put their agenda in front of the American people and inculcate them down to the very base level of the five senses with the program that they want people to use to decode their universe.
Yeah, and if you know how the system works and the mass of the people that you want to manipulate do not, you're already in a position of enormous power, because you are getting people to see the world the way you want them to see it without, from their perspective, having it imposed upon them by, you know, jackboots at the door. But it's having the same effect. They constantly fed a certain version of reality, and the more you tell people something, the more they will believe it, because it becomes the norm, and you get lines like, no, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that because everyone is being implanted to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, the more that I look at this, that something like 99.999%, and I'm probably being optimistic, of what most people believe is actually not true. Because there's often no research done on it. There's no background experience to support it. They are just repeaters, repeating the program. And the way out of here is to get into that level of ourselves that is the silence between the thoughts, that level of knowing rather than thinking. And bringing that perspective into the way we see the world, and your life transforms, the way you see life transforms, how you see what's going on that you couldn't see before transforms, and that's the way out of here. Anything else, it's in the program, and the program will take you down diversary roads that are leading nowhere. There's so many people that think they're challenging the society, when actually they're just another aspect of the program that's serving the desire to create conflict, division, and polarity within society. The silence is the only place out of here, because that's what we really are. The rest is illusion. And it was Edgar Allan Poe, I think, said, all we see and seem is but a dream within a dream. Yes, it is. And this is a dream that we're having here. It's interesting that when people have dreams in a sleep state, they dream in three dimensions. They often dream in color. But they'll never say, it's real. No, it was a dream. It seemed real, but I know it was a dream. Well, the difference between that and what we're experiencing here is we're taking the dream to be real, and that's why it's controlling us.
And is it ever? Well, a remarkable issue. When we think about activism and people trying to change the system that is strangling what's left of freedom in America to a large degree, and is only going to get worse, how does this apply to activists who are trying to change the information being decoded. The information, of course, is so corrupted now and toxic that the job is almost unimaginably insurmountable.
The challenging the system is great. I mean, we've all been doing that. The point is, from what perspective are we challenging the system? If it's just becoming another polarity to it, and acting in basically the same way with aggression, conflict, and all this stuff, then we're just creating another polarity between which an energy can oscillate, and you just set up another aspect of the matrix, and people get caught in challenging it, and all they're doing is feeding it. It's I guess if I could put it in simple terms. Instead of challenging the system in that way, it would be to walk away from it. It's go back to the 60s and where they said, what if they had a war and no one turned up? We don't have to fight the system. The Matrix loves fighting because it's got conflict, it's got division, it's got what it wants. We need to walk away from the system and cease to cooperate with it, because the system only exists because we cooperate. We're holding it up all the time. By ceasing to cooperate, non-cooperation with the system would collapse. It would have to, because we're the people, we're the energy that hold it together.
Right. Sam Bio, take a break. Come right back with David Icke. I want to explore the concept of anger, and that has been, of course, an obvious tool of those who would oppress and control. They love anger. We'll do that and much more with David as we continue. His new book is out now, available at davidicke.com. You can simply click on David's name at rents.com and guests and go there right now. And the first print is already sold out, second printing on the way, so you can line up for that one. This is going to be a runaway bestseller, as I say. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. And when you look through the book, first of all, David, the illustrations are marvelous, as you know.
Yeah, they were done by a friend of mine I've known a long time who comes from a similar perspective, and he's just a brilliant artist.
Yeah, he is. And you understand when you look at the picture of the double ladder helix of DNA what you're looking at. It's laid out beautifully. Now, we talked about the five senses and how most everyone is essentially a prisoner to his or her five senses.
Yeah.
One of the major chords they like to play within the masses is one of anger / confusion, whatever. They like to keep people riled up. They want the adrenaline flowing in the body. Because with anger, you have not only the disruption of the human immunological system. 1 minute of anger will disrupt the human immune system for up to 8 hours, folks. Get that one. But we also have, of course, discord among relationships. And what they don't want is cohesion at the bottom and mid-levels.
Yeah, divide and rule always has been and always will be the greatest tool of the dictator. Because it's very, very difficult to manipulate harmony. It's a piece of cake to manipulate conflict and chaos.
Easy.
And so they're all the time playing sides off against each other. And so we've got the religions, which, as I point out in the book, when you go back to their foundations, they are very, very similar in their makeup, but they use different terms, different language and stuff like that, and they appear to be different, but the way they operate, and often their basic story is the same. But it's not about whether something is different or not. It's about whether people can be persuaded that they're different, in the same way that I've been talking for years about problem, reaction, solution. where you get a problem, you get the people to react to the problem with anger and fear so that you can then offer the solutions to the problem, which of course we've seen with 9/11. But again, as with the case of Iraq, with problem, reaction, solution, you don't actually need a problem physically. You have to have the perception only of a problem, which is what they did. The problem in Iraq was weapons of mass destruction, we were told. Well, of course, it was a manufactured problem. It didn't exist, but it existed in the reality of many people in the run-up to it, and so they were able to play problem, reaction, solution to get a lot of support at the time to go into Iraq. So it's a mind game all the time. And when we get angry, we stop thinking straight. We think in an emotionally reactive way. We stop being calm and rationally looking through something. And therefore, anger is and fear is the big one. Are used to get us into that state all the time.
Oh, fight or flight. They love that one.
Fight or flight, yeah. Well, and that was another thing that I was looking at with this book. You know, if we are all possibility, why on earth do we react so fundamentally predictably in situations of perceived danger or fear, where we either run or slug the guy? I mean, there are other possibilities, but so often we react in one of two ways. It's because we're reacting according to programmed reaction through the DNA rather than from the perspective of the silence between the thoughts, in which we would look at the same situation in a very different way and see all the possibilities, not just two.
There's a wonderful picture on page 60 of the book. There are many great pictures in the book. A computer-enhanced image of the meridian system picked out by a gamma camera after radioactive tracers have been injected into acupuncture points. This is the body computer's circuit board. It's right there. It's our own body circuit board. The energy flowing through the meridians, known as qi in acupuncture, of course, as many of you well know, consists of photons, which are subatomic particles carrying information around the body. The chakra system also connects with this network, and when the flow of energy information is blocked or suppressed, it manifests as illness or dis-ease. Acupuncture needles are used to keep the energy flowing and balanced, and thus the body healthy. But it's all right here. We're an electrical circuit board. People forget we're electrical first, chemical second. Many people would say if they were asked, well, we're chemical first and electrical second. No, no, we are electrical, energetic beings. And we're talking about photons, David, which are, again, subatomic particles. And maybe that's where, of course, the entire reality is being played out.
Yes, I'm sure it is, and other levels beyond that. But this picture of the circuit board person was a classic, because I came across this picture while I was researching the book, and by this time, as with the Russian scientists, I had concluded that we were dealing with a biological computer here, which had the ability on certain levels to think for itself without the silence between the thoughts being involved. I think a lot of them become traffic wardens and car park attendants, from what I see, and government officials often. But the point being that when you look at it, it is like a circuit board, the meridian system. And as you just read from the book, what they found is when this energy going around this meridian system slows down, and what this energy is information, then the body becomes sick in various ways, because what we're dealing with literally is a highly sophisticated biological computer. If you slow the information going around a computer like the one in front of me now, that computer ceases to work at its optimum level. And you sit here and you think, God, this computer's slow today. What's the matter with it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not operating as it should do.
Right.
And the other thing that happens with a computer, and happened to me a couple of years ago, is you get computer viruses. Now, a computer virus is just the same as a human illness. And given the example of cancer, I had this virus, and it was just an irritant to start with, in the sense that the computer wasn't working as fast.
Mm.
And then it gathered and gathered more and more control of the computer, until the computer wouldn't even turn on, at which point we say, my computer's died. And that's the same principle of cancer. It's a computer virus. Mm-hmm. Now, on the computer, we have something called Norton antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the equivalent of the human immune system. And when the immune system, the antivirus system, is working well, then we don't get ill because it sorts the imbalances out, the viruses, if you like, at source. But what's happening, Jeff, you well know, you do a lot of this on your program, is the stuff that's hitting us through chemicals in food, chemicals in water, fluoride, mobile phone frequencies, and all this stuff, it is undermining the immune system, vaccinations too. And in doing so, in effect, it is diluting the effectiveness of Norton antivirus. And so these viruses can then prosper in a way they couldn't if our immune system was working. I just spent 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I spent 10 days in South Africa with Credo Mutwa, traveling around with him.
Well, what a program. Remember the program we did years ago?
He's still going. He's just an incredible man.
Yeah.
And what he's done, he's developed a herbal remedy that is having terrific impact on AIDS patients, of which there are legion in South Africa. And what it is, it's an immune system booster, because people don't die of AIDS. They die of diseases that are allowed to prosper within the body because the immune system is shot.
There are over 30 different hallmark diseases that can take you out in concert, sure.
Exactly. And so what they're concentrating on, Credo's been concentrating on, is boosting the immune system, which then deals with the problems of, mm-hmm. of disease that normally people would die of. His daughter had AIDS. She went down to a very low weight with this herbal remedy that boosts the immune system. She's now back to her full weight. He's helped so many people in this way because he understands what the situation is. If our Norton antivirus is working at its most effective, we don't get ill. And anything, like I said earlier, that slows down the movement of information around the body through the meridian system, etc., is going to manifest in some way as the body's not as healthy and as well as it should be. And all this stuff that we're here, and not least stress, the emotions of stress and the chemicals produced in the body by stress are slowing down. You know when you feel really kind of stressed and wound up? What do we say? Oh, I'm feeling really heavy today. It's because the information passing around the body, giving all the knowledge necessary to the different parts of the body to keep it working.
Moving in slow motion.
It's just not working properly. We feel heavy and slow because that's what's happening.
Exactly right. All right. Fascinating insight into what it's all about, folks, and I hope all of you listening, you've heard me prattle on this subject for many, many years, but you've got to quit eating toxic food, and that's all processed foods. You can't keep doing that. You keep putting those chemicals in your body, sooner or later you're going to get sick, badly sick. Time to stop. 24 times a month, the average American goes into a fast food restaurant. Just think about that. Back in a minute. Kid you not, folks, we are literally eating ourselves to death in America and in the UK. It's processed food. The number of chemicals in food continue to grow exponentially. They are not only unpronounceable, they are unintelligible.